Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, can you imagine being Noah or Noah's wife and waking up the next morning, the 41st morning, after the rain had finally stopped, and peeking your head out of the window, or if they had a deck, going out on the deck, and seeing before you what? Water and sky. And that's it. Water and sky. Noah and his family had just survived the greatest tragedy ever to happen in the whole history of the human world, past, present, or future. A worldwide deluge, a flood that covered the highest mountain on earth. God had just sent a worldwide flood. Nothing like we've ever seen or could imagine. It destroyed most of the life on the whole planet Earth because of the wickedness of humanity. It had become so great, the Bible tells us, every thought, every inclination of man was evil all the time. And because of this, God's heart was broken. It was in pain. Hurts. His creation had completely turned away from him. And so all life, all breathing creatures that were not on Noah's ark, on this big boat, now were dead, gone, wiped from the face of the earth. And Noah's wife and sons and their wives, they survived. But his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, his neighbors, their pets, everyone was dead. And although Noah and his immediate family survived, now on this next morning, the 41st morning after it began to rain, imagine stepping out on the ark and looking out. I don't think Noah had the same heart of joy that perhaps Moses and the Israelites had when they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, or Daniel when he was brought out of the lion's den. I just don't think there was a big heart of joy. Noah had survived the most dangerous and deadly event in human history, but now everything was dead. And he didn't know exactly what lay ahead, what was next. How was this boat ride going to end? He would step out onto the deck or peek through the window day after day and see nothing but water and sky. Water and sky. Day after day, water and sky. And God did not give him the game plan. He did not reveal to him the day-by-day plan. What is going to happen next? Just water and sky. If you think about it, it had to be a quite eerie and quiet experience for Noah and his immediate family. Can you imagine peeking your head out and seeing nothing but water and sky? I think you can. I think you can imagine it, because I think most likely if you've lived a few years on this planet, you've been there before. No, not on Noah's ark, but on your own ride in life. Seeing the challenges that lay before you. Maybe it's not just water and sky, but it's bills piling up and no sign of more income in the near future. The body of a loved one is shutting down. And there's hassle with the insurance company. And the doctor, he or she gives no clear diagnosis. You graduated, perhaps this weekend, with high honors even. But now what? You don't know what you're going to do with your life. You don't have a job. And the job market, it's not hiring people like you. You're married, but you're not talking to your spouse. Or you have kids, but you're not talking to your kids. They're not talking to you, at least about the important stuff. You're sleep deprived, completely fatigued, worn out from work or school or just life. All you need is a good night's sleep or two, but the anxiety or the depression don't allow you to fall asleep. And although you survived another day, another week, another month, you don't know exactly how this boat ride is going to end up. It can be quite scary. You step out onto the deck of your ark or peek your head through the window each morning and see nothing but water and sky and water and sky and no hint of sunshine or rainbows on the horizon. God hasn't revealed to you the exact plan for your tomorrow, let alone the next hour. How is this boat ride going to end? What's the next step, the next plan in this journey? Just water and sky, bills and stress, doctor visits, and the eerie quietness of you and your loved ones. But as Noah peeked out the window or stepped onto the ark, he did have two things. Two things that allowed him hope as he looked at nothing but water and sky those days after the flood had stopped. First, he had the experience of being saved by not just a mighty God who would destroy the world, but a merciful God who would save him. God did save him. That did count for something, because God easily could have wiped out Noah and his family along with the rest of creation, but he didn't. Noah had God's past action of love and mercy and salvation for him and his family to hang his hat on. No, Noah didn't know when life would begin again, when the waters would receive, when the trees and the flowers would begin to grow again. But he had to trust that this God, this mighty God who sent this deathly flood, would now continue to provide for him and his family, save him from the future and current perils. He would have to do that. And God would give quite a sign to Noah. A couple of weeks afterwards, you see, Noah started sending out birds, a raven and a dove. The dove came back because it couldn't find a place to perch. So a week went by and he sent the dove out again. And the second time it came back with a leaf branch. A leaf branch in its mouth. Noah sends a dove, and the second time he sends a dove, it comes back with a leaf branch in its mouth. To you and me, it's just a twig, but for Noah, it was a sign of life in a dead world. Even when Noah couldn't see the tree, the dove pointed Noah's eyes to life. God pointed Noah's eyes to life. The God who created all things was creating again. And this leaf branch was the first sign of many good things to come. Eventually, the waters would recede. The ark would land on dry ground. Grass and trees and vegetation grew again. Noah's family, the only human family left, would grow again. The animal kingdom would grow again by the hand of this mighty, living, and loving, merciful God. And God would make a promise to Noah and all of creation that never again would he destroy the world like this with a flood. You too have two important things that give you hope in the midst of your water and sky, water and sky. First, like Noah, you've been saved. You have the experience of being saved by the same merciful and mighty God. No, you haven't survived the great flood, but you've experienced salvation by the hand of the same living, mighty, and loving, merciful God. For through a particular son of Noah came one whose every thought, every word, every deed was perfect. This son of Noah, also the Son of God, Jesus, came into your flesh, took on your flesh, so that you would not your sin, which permeates your body. This Jesus is your ark, your salvation. And the truth is, without Jesus, you and I are just as guilty as the people in Noah's day. On our own, every thought, every inclination is sinful at best. Sinful from conception, sinful from birth, not able to save ourselves. Nothing in us, anything good to offer this loving and merciful God. In and of ourselves, destined for death and destruction just as they were. But God wouldn't allow it. God saved you, not with an ark, but with Jesus, Noah's son, God's son. And second, he's given you much more than a leaf branch in the mouth of a dove as a sign of life and life to come. You see, he's given you his spirit. Yes, his spirit, who has taken the form of a dove, but is much more than a dove. God's spirit who hovered over the waters at creation when all things were perfect. God's spirit who hovered over the waters, the flood waters, when all things were not so perfect, hovers over your life. God's spirit who guides and directs and comforts and strengthens. God's spirit who brings life and sustains life. He brings to you not a leaf branch, but he's the one who brings to you Jesus. That Jesus is not just some out there, up there God who lived a long time ago, but a Jesus who is right here, right now for you, yes, even in your mouth. He was crucified for your sins. He is resurrected and reigning now, Jesus. And the Spirit of God brings you this Jesus, hovering over waters in your baptism, drowning the sinful nature, but bringing life, new life, into a dead world, into a dead body. There is life. And this Jesus and his resurrection is the first sign and the most important sign of good things to come. For as St. Paul reminds us today in the epistle lesson, he who raised this Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us into his presence. Yes, the same God of Noah, the same Spirit that hovered over those waters, hovers over your life and your waters and your gray skies. And there's a lot more than a leaf branch in this God of Noah's mouth. More than a rainbow in the sky, more than just a little sign of life. The same God of Noah now brings thee a Jesus, fully resurrected, the sign of life to come, your life to come, eternal life. And that's all you need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. We now sing, Create in Me a Clean Heart.